The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight on this Tuesday evening. Boy, I'm excited. I've been wanting to talk to my guest tonight for a little while. There is, I think if you know me well enough, you know that one of the things I love, especially having on the program, is talking with authors about books, about their beliefs in the paranormal, talking about the things that they write about, what's important to them. This is great because very rarely do I feel like that we have a local spin on it. We seem to be bringing in people from all around the country, which is great, but I wanted to be able to finally talk with some very gifted authors and talk about it from a local standpoint. And I guess I didn't realize how local we were talking here, but we'll get to that in a second. The book is called Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal. It is written by Heather Bourget and Kristen Menth, and before we bring them on, I'd like to take a moment and introduce them. Heather, growing up, Heather had always been drawn to the eerie echo of the unexplained. Some incidents hinted at the unseen, evoking curiosity rather than fear in her young mind. She asked the question, what if there indeed was more to this world than meets the eye? In April 2015, she discovered the answer to the question when she embarked on her first paranormal investigation. The experience was a revelation, uncovering layers of knowledge and mysteries as compelling as confounding. Her perspective on the paranormal was forever changed. The more she learned, the more she realized how much there was still to discover. Heather recognized that her quest was no longer just about satisfying her curiosity or crossing an item off her bucket list. It was about pushing the boundaries of knowledge, about unearthing truths concealed in the depths of time and perception. With that realization, her journey into the paranormal evolved from a mere intrigue into a lifelong commitment as she continues to delve deeper to unlock the unknown. And then Kristen was born and raised in a small hobby farm in rural Minnesota. Growing up surrounded by the beauty of nature and simplicity of rural life, Kristen has developed a deep appreciation for history and a fascination with historical buildings and locations. From an early age, Kristen would often explore the historical landmarks in her travels, eagerly immersing herself in stories of the past and uncovering the secrets they may hold. As her love for the history of these places grew, she did her interest in the paranormal. Utilizing modern equipment and the knowledge of the history of a location, she travels the Midwest in search of scientific proof of the paranormal. Kristen and Heather, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, we're not going to give away addresses or anything, but you both are like ridiculously close to me right now. And I'm in St. Michael. And that's just like we're this radio show, basically, I mean, kind of in a sense, not necessarily Kristen at the moment, but we're all kind of like focused in one part of Minnesota. It's pretty crazy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just a couple miles down the road from you, Greg.
literally. She is in St. Michael as well. And when did I find this out? Like minutes ago. So, yes. so, you know, and that's the exciting thing too, is we had talked about, you know, meeting people, and even though, we live like literally next door to each other, all of us really, that, we don't, you know, we haven't really met before. And I think this is just kind of a way of like realizing, you know, that a lot of people go and do their own thing in the paranormal. And I think that's what's really exciting about it, because now I can talk to you both about this and talk to you about it in the book, in terms of the book, I guess I should say, Once again, the book is called Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal. You can get your copy at barnesandnoble.com, and I really hope that people do, because this book is not... It's not about really local Minnesota. There are some Minnesota locations in it, but there's a lot more to it. Heather, what is the book about?
It's about our quest to find answers to the paranormal. There's so much unknown and so many questions, and it almost feels like you get one question answered and then two more questions arise. Mm-hmm. And with advancements in technology and tools that are becoming more and more available, it's such a fascinating field. And the book originally started out as, like, we kind of really wanted to get our story out there. We wanted to say, hey, this happened to me, you know, I experienced this. And then as we dug into it, it really became more important about the history of the places and the people that walked the floors, whether they were patients or doctors or homeowners or kids or parents. And just to be able to take that step back in time, because a lot of these places are abandoned. Mm-hmm. Now, we've never investigated anywhere without permission. These are all, you know, safe places, mm-hmm. but a lot of them are abandoned. And just to be able to, I mean, you really feel like you're taking a step back in time. And then when you delve into history and really begin to understand what led up to it becoming abandoned, and then you go in and you investigate, and some of those stories kind of start to come to life through your investigation.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really cool. Kristen, you had put in your bio that kind of the scientific side of things. Is that the direction that you take when you are doing your investigations?
Yes. As much as the feelings that I have when I'm at a location, there's no scientific background to that. You can't say that, I mean, anybody can say they have a feeling a certain way or another. But to have that scientific proof, to have that equipment go off or have the voice come through on the ghost box, it's something else. You can't say that that's faked. So the scientific background to it, that equipment going off, when you cannot explain that going off for any other reason, especially in these abandoned places, a lot of these abandoned places don't even have electricity. They don't have any reason that this equipment should be going off. So when it goes off, you don't have any other explanation than paranormal.
Do you discount like any sort of like mediumship or anything altogether? I mean, what if there's something that you have a feeling that validates the equipment going off?
I don't invalidate it, but a lot of times I will only corroborate that if there is equipment that goes off at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Heather? Is your approach going to be more scientific as well?
Like Kristen said, it's one thing to, I mean, I've had numerous times where you feel like you walk through a giant spider web and every hair on your body stands up, and it's then when a piece of equipment goes off that then validates that feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I can say all day, and quite frankly, I truly do believe that we ourselves are the biggest tool that we have, because your personal experiences, while you might not be able to scientifically back it, when something happens, it's powerful. And especially then when you do have that piece of equipment that goes off, you know, you feel like you're being followed, and then the music box that there's no way you could trigger goes off, or, you know, a shadow crosses a grid, or, you know, an EVP comes through that, you know, says your name.
I'll tell you, you know, that, like, I think to myself, and I just did a show last night about my first time doing, you know, the paranormal stuff, using the equipment, using Spirit Box. You're absolutely right. There is nothing better than going through a recording and maybe hearing a like a voice or something that you didn't hear when you were there. I mean, there is something about that that is just so amazing. And I don't think, I don't know about you two, I don't think that feeling's ever gone away either. Every time we get something, it never gets old.
Well, it's never the same. I mean, you can have a similar feeling, but that experience is never going to be identical. And so therefore, the evidence that backs it up is never going to be the same. So
absolutely.
It's always going to be a new experience.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you two known each other?
Oh,
15 years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Almost 15 years.
Did you know each other prior to getting into paranormal investigations?
Do you want to hear how we got into paranormal investigations?
I would, as it happens.
It was late night. I already put the kids to bed, and you know, sometimes I just sneak over to Heather's house, and we have a couple beers in the garage. Mm. We were watching Ghost Hunters, and we both said we should try this,
mm-hmm.
and so we did.
Just grabbed the phone, found one, went and did the investigation, and we were hooked.
And that was Morse Mill, Missouri. That was an awesome investigation. We met some pretty amazing, like, team members there, mm-hmm. and they took us under their wing, and, like, we would not be where we are today without them.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Greg, to give you a little, like, I showed up wearing flip-flops and holding a flashlight, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And we happened to meet James and Mateo, and they had all the techie stuff. And I say techie because I don't even remember what they had. They were all decked out, and they had matching shirts, and they had, you know, all of the cameras and everything. And I, you know, kind of nudged Chris, and I was like, hey, let's go talk to those guys. And they took us under their wing, and they gave us our actual first piece of equipment, and it was quite the experience.
What was your first piece of equipment then?
K2.
Yep, a K2.
That's cool. It's like I said, it's just fun when you start using this stuff and it starts to work in an intelligent way as well. There's something really, really quite amazing about that. And so, you know, Kristen, I mean, from there, then it seems like that it did it become an addiction in a sense,
to say the least,
right?
To say the least, I mean, a lot of research went into it. I mean, and we started gathering equipment here and there, and we did research, and we started signing up for. We did a lot of public investigations to start off with. And it took a toll because a lot of the stuff, I mean, we had too many people.
Yeah.
And then we hooked up with another team that was with Fox Valley, and we were able to do investigations. It was just us. And it was amazing to mm-hmm. be able to do individual investigations and do stuff on our own. And then we started seeking things, just the two of us, to be able to investigate just smaller areas, booking places by ourselves. And so we were at these locations just by ourselves. And it was amazing, the stuff that we would get just without all the other people around. Get so much more feedback that way.
What do you think it was that made you decide, like, finally, like, you know what, we're just going to do this. We are more than capable of doing this. What was there anything that just kind of did, or was it more of just a natural progression?
I think to your point, Greg, we realized we could. It's kind of one of those things where, it seems kind of silly to say now, but like initially we almost felt like we had to book through someone else. We had to find someone else that was hosting an event at, you know, at one of these places. And then it was, you know, when you start looking into it, no, you can book private investigations at most of these places. And then when you think about it, it's like, well, why wouldn't we? And then we can just grab a handful of people that we want to investigate with and keep it small. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. I think we realized that at Eldred House, and I think that was within the first year that we started investigating, And that's when we started like gathering a few people like, mm-hmm. hey, you want to book this? I'd like to do it this weekend. And then three, four people would jump on. And then, I mean, it cost the same as those public investigations.
But yet you had it all to yourself.
We did.
Absolutely. You know, I felt for myself, for like the first year or two, I felt a little bit of imposter syndrome, a little bit, because I just didn't know, because I saw everyone else doing it, and they're like all these teams and stuff. And kind of like you two, I was by myself for the longest, you know, I was totally by myself. And it took me personally a long time. It doesn't sound like with what you two had, but it took me a while to finally just be like, you know, like where you all came to is like, I have I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it. And I just, you know, need to do it. And like what you two just said, you kind of find your tribe a little bit as well, don't you? When you have these investigations, you know, there's just certain people that you just know that these are the people that I like to investigate with.
Definitely.
And you know, and everybody has their own way of doing things. Everybody has their own perspective on things. And we really started to enjoy being able to investigate with other groups and with other people, again, in a smaller setting, mm-hmm. but with people that were like us, that really kind of had a grasp on what they were doing. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, the first investigation, I was checking off a bucket list item. I was like, ooh, yep. We should do a paranormal investigation. That'd be really yep. fun. And then when you really dive into it and you realize, wow, there's so many layers here and there's so much more to this, then you want to find other people that are passionate about it as much as you are. And I love learning from other people. I love seeing other people's techniques mm-hmm. and ways of doing things. And
absolutely. Yeah, that's why it's great to be invited by other teams to be able to see what they do. Mm-hmm. Because we typically do things the same. And then if we always investigate with the same people, we always do things the same. So if another team invites us, it's so amazing to see what they are able to do. Maybe they do things a little different. They get a little bit different feedback mm-hmm. and vice versa.
Yep. Absolutely. Why don't we go ahead and do this? Let's go ahead, take our first break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the book. Let's see if anyone has any questions in the comments section, and we'll just keep this paranormal conversation going. This is going to be a great hour. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Tonight we have on authors Heather Bourget and Kristen Menth. We are talking about Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal, the book that they've written that just came out in the end of 2023. It's available on barnesandnobles.com. Please go there and pick up a copy. I've read through a lot of it. There are some amazing stories in here. There's some great insight in here. How many locations did you cover in this book?
I think it was 17.
It's substantial. I mean, it really is. How far back does this go as far as your journey in the paranormal, as far as the locations?
2015.
So,
yeah. So I think we only went up to about 2022. We hit a few more locations since then, mm-hmm. and there's a few that we did not include yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a lot of locations. It doesn't cover all of them, but more of the suitable ones for a book.
How did you decide on the allocation of the writing between the two of you?
If I'm understanding your question correct, one challenge that we had is, I mean, the two of us were at the majority of the locations together, and it was trying to determine if the experience happened to me and Kristen witnessed it, is it more understandable, or is it easier to put the reader in her shoes or mine? Mm-hmm. Is it easier, or is it going to be more understandable if it's from her perspective or mine? So that was one challenge that we had. As far as the rest of it went, I kind of went a little nuts digging into the history, and Kristen's strength was being able to really articulate the experiences that we had. So we kind of just did a divide and conquer.
Right.
It was really great to be able to, and I mean, she talks about like which perspective we should have put, I mean, her perspective, my perspective, or a third person. But sometimes it was better to start with my perspective, like if she had the experience, and then she would explain to mm-hmm. me what happened, and I would explain what she said. Sometimes you need to hear it from both of us. Like, I witnessed what happened to her, but to hear what she felt in that moment is something else. Like, you needed to see it. You needed to be there. You needed to be the person that had that experience at the same time as an outside perspective.
Did you, like, find out anything new, I mean, for either Heather or Heather or Kristen, that you didn't realize at the time, like some new insights of how either of you had felt about a situation or something that happened at any of the locations?
Definitely. So I'm going to tell you, when we first started in 2015, I had a lot more sensations, feelings in the beginning. More smell. I could feel an energy that followed me the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, she didn't have those feelings. Over the last, now it's been 9 years, she has developed those feelings and beyond surpassed me. I mean, she can go into Estes and she can hear and feel all of these words and conversations coming through to her that are beyond anything that I could have ever imagined hearing or feeling myself.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And Heather, same thing for Kristen?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I'm extremely grateful for is she has an amazing ability to tune into me, especially when I am in Estes. And she's the only person so far who has been able to pick up when she can tell that I'm starting to, I don't want to say lose control, but it's getting to the point where it's not going to be quite as easy to pull myself out of it. And she picks up on that. And it took us a few times to figure out how she could do that without making me literally jump out of my skin. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it started with, you know, a tap on the shoulder, and then I just would completely freak out because it startled me so much. But it took a little work, but we got it figured out.
I think we've both significantly grown since we started. Feelings-wise, everything like that, I think I've probably remained the same. Heather has gotten a lot better. She will always be her jumpy self. And honestly, I could make
so we're walking around with a flashlight and it reflects off something and I jump and drop the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I startle very easily. It's very rare that I get scared, but I startle myself all the time. There was one instance I bumped into, you might have noticed in the book, at the end of most of the chapters, we have paranormal outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to include that because, you know, we do have a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of serious things that, you know, we've experienced, and a couple times that we have actually been on edge, or for me, even scared. But we do have a lot of fun, and there are a lot of laughs. And so the paranormal outtake was just, it was kind of our way to lighten the mood a little bit and make people real, you know, that it's there is fun involved.
Now, you mentioned the Estes method and there's a lot of people listening on the radio who don't know what that is. Could you explain that, please?
Sure. So Estes is when, a spirit box, Kristen, you can probably explain the spirit box a little better than I can, but it scans radio frequencies at an extremely high rate. And when you're doing Estes, you Typically, close your eyes or are blindfolded, and you have noise-canceling headphones on that are hooked up to that spirit box. And most of the time, you're even away from the other people that you're investigating with.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole objective of Estes is, when I go in, I can't hear what they're doing. I can't see what they're doing. I have no idea if equipment is going off. I don't know what questions they're asking. And so any feelings that I get, anything that comes through, whether it's my own thoughts, whether it's coming through the spirit box, that information is said out loud and relayed. And then the correlation is made. Did this make sense? Was anything validated? Because you're completely, literally blind and deaf from everything that's happening around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long do you do the experiment for, being blindfolded and stuff? How long do you normally last for?
I don't let her last more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, the last spirit box session we did was probably at First Ward. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the most intense spirit box or Estes session we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want her to go back in there. It was extremely intense. And I mean, the person that was speaking through her literally wanted us to leave her alone in there. And I kept getting grabbed. It was her and me. We were in an Estes session and she was blindfolded. She couldn't hear anything that was going on. There was equipment going off all around us. And I honestly felt like I was alone. And I felt like she was getting deeper and deeper in. And I think that may have only lasted maybe 10 to 15 minutes at the most. And I'm like, nope, I'm done. I can't be here alone. And you need to get pulled out of it. Like, this is getting too deep.
And I think that's a great... Go ahead, Kristen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It was to the point where, like, in that location of the school, the owner of the school refuses to go in there.
Yeah.
He ended up coming in with us because of the intensity of the Estes sessions. And we both agreed that this is not the time or the place for this. Like, we've already gotten to this level. We don't need to go any further. We've already gotten what we needed, and we don't need to poke the bear anymore, more or less.
Right.
I think it's important for people to realize that there is danger in this, you know, and I think, Kristen, you've spelled it out very, very well. And I think about an Estes session, and I know my friend who was in it, he's listening, or he was on at least, and we made the mistake of keeping him in it too long, because it is total immersion. If people don't quite realize it, some people try to go deeper in it. I don't know, Heather, if you do or not. I really don't do Estes that much, but you can get really immersed in the situation and forget where you are, maybe even sometimes who you are. And it's dangerous when you leave someone in there for too long, and like you both talked about, even after 20 minutes, trying to get that person just kind of acclimated back to thing. It's not a quick like, okay, I'm taking off the blindfold and stuff. Now let's get going. It's a completely different game than almost anything else we do as investigators.
100%. She needs to take a break after that.
Yes.
I mean, I tell her it's time to take a break. Let's go outside, get some fresh air. It's necessary. And she needs to detach.
The particular one that Kristen's talking about, I forgot that I even had headphones on and that I was even hooked up to anything. Everything that I was saying were my thoughts and my feelings, and that and it did get very intense, and that was the first time that it had been that strong and that much of me,
mm-hmm.
and not the equipment that I was listening to. And I will never forget, I was listening back to that, and I said to Kristen, "Who said that?" And she said, "That was you." I didn't even recognize my own voice. And that was, I almost had like all the same feelings again, listening to it. and then realizing, oh my gosh, I didn't even recognize my own voice when I was listening back.
Absolutely. It's such a thing. And someday when I do another episode by myself, I'm going to talk about some of the Estes that I've done over the years. This isn't the time for it, but they are extreme, and that's just it. And that's why, and this is an interesting question that came through, and I think it's a good one to answer because I think it can go two ways. Arthur asked, and Arthur, by the way, I got your email. It's going to take me a couple days to get back to you. What measures do you take to ensure the authenticity of the communications received during an Estes session?
I'm not 100% sure how to answer that. In the instance that we were just talking about, the other person that was with us was very familiar with the person who was coming through Estes, mm-hmm. based on mannerisms, just choice of words, the conversation that was happening. I mean, if we're in a completely new location somewhere that we aren't familiar with, the authenticity of the communication sometimes isn't validated, and sometimes it isn't validated until further research is done as far as names coming through or a situation unfolding or being explained.
And
I don't know, Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, actually, to add on to that, that is why we do the history research. I mean, if you've read our book, when you do read our book, that is why we dive so much into that history. Because if we have these Estes sessions or we have a name come across on one of the spirit boxes, anything like that, there might be some correlation with the history that we have delved into. And that's why we look so much into the history, because we want to know what's happened here before, speculation, rumors, or even what actually is recorded has happened.
Could I add a third piece to that? Because I wonder if maybe Arthur even meant this, and he may not have meant this, but one thing too is I'm only going to do an Estes method with people I know. And what I say about that is, you let alone about the safety part of it, you got someone who has your back. It's also, and I don't, you know, those public events, and I put on public events, and, you know, I might have talked about this the other day, where you'll get people who the spirit box isn't saying anything all night at this event, there isn't really a whole lot going on, and as soon as somebody, you know, that you don't know, puts on their headphones and everything else, next thing you know, suddenly the spirit box is swearing out of control, or it's having some sort of like talking very sexually or anything like that. And it's just like, you can't, that's where I have the biggest problem with the authenticity of what's coming through. Because like you two know each other, you two have a good reputation. If Heather is putting on the headphones and the blindfold, you're going to know that no one's being messed around with somebody you don't know. And suddenly they're saying something that is totally uncharacteristic for the entire evening. To me, that's a big red flag right there.
You know, another thought popped in my head as you were saying that. There are times where the Estes doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean that there's not something legitimate coming through. It just, I mean, there's been a few times where I'll come out of Estes and Kristen will say, well, that was fun. I just listened to you have a conversation with yourself, because there were clearly two people talking back and forth.
Right.
And you know, and I wasn't answering any of her questions. I wasn't doing anything that she was asking, but she could tell that it was that I was picking up a conversation, but it was between two people. It had nothing to do with her.
Absolutely. Why don't we go ahead and do this? Let's take our next break here. When we come back, if anyone has, I mean, I'm liking the questions that's in, is in the chat room. If anyone has any other questions, put them in. We're going to keep talking about the book, Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal, and anything else you want to talk about. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Yeah, I think I'm back.
And join me tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. Finally, finally, we're going to be talking about reptilians. I've been wanting to talk about them for 10 years. I never found the right person to talk about them until I realized that's Scotty Roberts. He wrote a book about it, The Secret History of the Reptilians. We're going to be talking with Scotty tomorrow about his book, and it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. So join us tomorrow. We're going to have Scotty Roberts on. We are talking with Heather Bourget and Kristen Menth. They wrote the book, Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal, available at barnesandnoble.com, also available on Amazon. Please, please, please support your local authors, support the independent authors, and buy this book. It's very nice, and there's a lot to it. So, you know, there's no reason, especially to add to your paranormal library, read, bring in, you know, and you got people like Troy Taylor, I see, writing recommendations about this book. It doesn't get much better than Troy, as far as I'm concerned. So congratulations on that. Got a few people talking about the Estes Method in the comments and stuff, which is cool to see. You know, I don't want to get into the full story, though John wants to. John didn't want to stop. He was the person I was talking about with the Estes Method. In fact, he was ready to fight. So when, and like, Kristen, when you go over to Heather and you tap her shoulder and she startles, this is what John did to me. He tries to backhand me, and I caught his arm, and you know, just like, you just know they're into it. And it took him a couple minutes because Heather, and I don't want to turn this into Estes Method Hour, but when you had done it, did you have like spirits provoke you while doing it?
The last couple sessions I did, and I think it's just because the more you do it, the better you get at it. I mean, it's like with anything. I did the very last Estes session that I did. There was a group of us, and of course I didn't know what was going on, but I ended up with a couple guys around me because they were starting to be worried for my safety.
Sure.
For what was going on. But, for the most part, no. But has it happened? Yes.
It's more been provoking everybody else around us, everybody else around her.
Mm-hmm.
They would provoke us because they were speaking through her. That was typically what would happen, is they would go after me, or they would go after another one of the team members that were in the room. They more or less just used her as the soundboard.
Now, looking through the chapters here, and there's a lot of chapters, a lot of places that they've visited, Kristen and Heather, visited a couple on here that I find very interesting. Number one, Fox Hollow Farm is a place that I would love to go and have checked out. How was that?
So I did do that with my team at the time. It was amazing, to say the least. I had a lot of experiences. It was less scientific experiences. It was more sensations. One of the experiences that I brought into that was when I was in the apartment upstairs, and I was sitting there with two other team members, and they were both sitting on the couch. And when I investigate, I don't like to sit next to anybody. My thought when I do investigations,
can we be in the same building at least, or are you going to say no to that as well?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Myself, like, by at least a few feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it like, you know, a herd situation. If you're going to get picked off, you have to be away from the herd, and I want to get picked off.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat away from the other two investigators. I sat in a chair by myself, and I could feel that weight. I could feel weight coming down on me, and it was something else. Like I literally couldn't even, I had my hands on the armrests, and I could not even lift my fingers.
Wow.
To the point where, like, eventually I wasn't even able to breathe.
Wow.
And I typically don't get stern. I'm open to most things. I'm usually pretty, pretty nice about everything, but at one point I said, you need to get off of me. I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we did have to leave because I was at that point where, like, I don't feel comfortable here if they weren't respecting me.
Did the door move at all on that, in that apartment on the second floor, like the handle jiggle or anything like that?
We did not have the handle jiggle. We did have, we went from that location, we did move into the walk-in closet. And when we were sitting in there, the clothes moved behind us.
Oh, nice. Nice.
We didn't have any, I don't think anything jiggle, anything like that. Another thing that happened there was, we thought that if we were to feed our energy into the pool was the, and if people don't, aren't aware of Box Hollow, the pool is where the murders took place.
Mm-hmm.
That is where Herb strangled his victims. So we thought if we were to put our energy into the pool, maybe we could stir something up and have something happen. So we all put a hand, a foot, anything like that. And I was just randomly taking pictures. I would take a picture of the other two investigators and everything was fine. The next picture I took, the next person over from me had her foot in the water and there was a light shining behind her foot. And there is a photo of that in the book. You can see this illumination behind her foot. Wow. And there is no explanation for that. I looked at the previous pictures that I had taken, the pictures after that. There's nothing that would have caused that illumination behind her foot. Send it to other investigators, and they said they have no explanation for it.
Fox Hollow is a very interesting location. And do you give the history in the book, a little bit of history of the background to it? I mean, definitely, yes. Folks, yep. it's truly a place of mass murder. And so, you know, and it's not something that people, it's not like Villisca, you can go in and check it out whenever you want. It's not a place that most people can get into. So, you know, to be able to get, you know, at least the feelings and stuff through the writings of Heather and Kristen, I mean, in my mind, that's worth the book itself, because you're getting some really good data from these locations that you're probably never going to get the opportunity to go visit. So might as well read about it and check it out and see what they have to say about it, as well as all the other locations.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget when something happened. Full body apparition. I did not see it.
Mm-hmm.
Another investigator saw it and he decided it was too much for him and he left me.
Yeah. See you later.
So I'm sitting in this closet that supposedly has a portal,
mm-hmm.
by myself, and I hear him run and I'm like, hello, is anybody there? that there are very few times in my investigating history in the last 9 years that I've been doing this that I've, will say I was scared, and there, that was a moment I was actually scared.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy place. I also see on the list one that we're going to be losing here very soon, Bobby Mackey's Music World. And that's an interesting place. Were you both downstairs in the restaurant and then up in Carl's apartment then?
So it's interesting because I was not at the location you just talked about, and Kristen was not at Bobby Mackey's. yes, we did explore the whole area, and my takeaway from Bobby Mackey's was there was a lot that came through the spirit box that at the time did not make any sense. And then once I dove, I mean, the history of Bobby Mackey's, if you really dig in, it's deep. I mean, there's a lot of history at Bobby Mackey's.
Mm-hmm.
I got down a lot of rabbit holes. I don't know how many times, you know, aren't you done researching Bobby Mackey's? No, because I got down this other rabbit hole. And I
would say there's 18 hours of research at the absolute minimum for Bobby Mackey's. And I listened to every minute of it.
Sure.
we did have some equipment, but like I said, the biggest thing was then when I went back and I re-listened, to the Spirit Box sessions and even a couple, you know, EVPs that we didn't hear at the time, it really kind of tied into the whole syndicate, the illegal gambling and bootlegging. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting.
I had been there many years ago, and for me, the most active part of Bobby Mackey's was up in Carl's apartment. Well, you know, and I just we got tons of Spirit Box in the restaurant, but we also got a lot upstairs in Carl's apartment. I'll be honest, I didn't really get anything downstairs, but that's just me.
Well, and we actually tended to stay away from the portal, the supposed portal that's there. Mm-hmm. We didn't even really spend much time there. But yeah, up in, actually what was interesting is up in Carl's, I had my tripwire laid out and, you know, several of the lights went off as we were picking up, conversations on the Spirit Box, and one light stayed lit and it had actually turned, like the light itself had turned and nobody had moved. And when you lay a tripwire down, you lay it down flat, and this particular one had somehow flipped on its side. And that was the only time that I had ever seen that happen. And I have no explanation for how that happened.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. We're coming up to about a minute and a half before, 2 minutes before we're done here. You know, I mean, I know that this only goes up to, I think you said 2022. Is there a place for either of you that you want to investigate but have not been able to do so yet? Kristen, what about you?
Oh gosh, there's so many.
Does one pop up to the top of the list?
I would like to do, honestly, Waverly Hills solo.
Sure.
That'd be cool. Or at least just with one other person. I wouldn't want a team. It was just, say the two of us.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. Heather, what about you?
I would love to, either visit and investigate at Tombstone. My dad is probably listening and laughing because that's one of our favorite movies. But that's just a whole different element of history that I have not yet been exposed to, and I would love to visit there.
I had investigated Birdcage, and then another store on the Strip, if you call it a Strip. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So definitely, you got to get out there. You will not be disappointed.
It made me want to go more.
Get out there, and then I want to read about it in your next book. The book is called Unlock the Unknown, Case of the Paranormal. It's written by Heather Bourget and Kristen Meth. It is available on Amazon.com. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. And this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. When's the next book coming out?
it's going to, I mean, obviously the first one took 8 years.
Yeah, well, make it, now you know how to do it, make it faster. I mean, you see, you must have learned something while you wrote the first one.
Yes, quite a few somethings. Yes, we definitely did.
Kristen, Heather, thank you so very much. I hope you enjoyed tonight.
Definitely.
Thank you, Greg. This was an amazing opportunity. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We'll be back tomorrow talking about reptilians, see if they can reunite me with my family. Everyone, have a good night. Take care.